Hi, good to have you back for another episode of Career Time Playback. To give more students the opportunity to get career advice, we record our workshops and offer them to you as a podcast. You can listen to this podcast on Spotify, SoundCloud, and iTunes. Of course, you can also attend the workshops live. Make sure to check the university website and Career Service FGGA social media accounts for all upcoming career events.
Welcome everyone. I'm very happy that you're all here. A very warm welcome to the speakers today. Very nice that you are here and that you want to tell about your experiences. My name is Diana Kaartdijk and I'm a career advisor for the Faculty Governance and Global Affairs. And I'm here together this morning with my colleague Anne van Diepen. And together we will moderate this session. This session is part of the Online Career Week, a week full events. But we are organizing more events and workshops during the whole year. We hope that after today you will have a better idea whether working for the EU is something for you, and hopefully it inspires and makes you start thinking of what you like or what you don't like. We would like to make it a very interactive session, so feel free to ask what's on your mind. You can use the chat for that, and Anna and we will keep an eye on the chat. Before we start with the interactive part, I will ask the speakers to introduce themselves. First, Andreas will tell you more about his career path and his work for the European Commission in The Hague. And after that, Valerie van Diepen, she will tell you more about the requirements, the different traineeships, and about how to apply for traineeships. And then Jasper de Boer will tell you more from his experience. And then I will ask the two trainees, Nathalie and Rosa, to introduce themselves.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you for organizing this. I'd like to keep it very, very short to give you a lot of time to ask questions. How I ended up at the European Commission and why I stayed and why I like it. I think these are maybe points that you might be interested in. So I'm an official at the European Commission, meaning I did the concours. So if you have any questions about that, don't hesitate to ask. And I started my work in Brussels, working for DG ECFIN, so on economic and financial affairs. And that's very, very interesting. It's what I experienced there when I started is that I got a lot of responsibility very early on. You are thrown into the cold water and you have to swim. You have a very steep learning curve. It's very, very interesting. It's very dynamic. It's very demanding. It's very international. It's Brussels by itself is very interesting. It's very inspiring. A lot of interesting people from all over the EU and the world. The Commission, I find, is a very interesting employer. You have a lot of training possibilities. You have a lot of ways to develop yourself within the organization, move to different jobs, work on very different topics. You work on very big topics, you know, like climate change or international trade agreements or now more recently the problems we have at the Polish border with the migrants. So we work on, by definition, on European, on international issues, and it's always very, very big because you're talking about the whole of the EU and potentially even more than that. You have a lot of, as I said, you have a lot of training possibilities. You have a lot of ways to develop yourself in the institution. You can move between institutions. You can go to the parliament or the council. But you can also physically move. So I now spent a couple of years in The Hague, and I'll go back to Brussels next year. But you can move all over the EU, but also outside. We have so-called delegations all over the world. So if you like traveling, we have our own diplomatic service, the EES. So there are many ways to develop yourself and to find your own career path. And this, I myself find very interesting, very inspiring. That's why I applied back then, and that's why I'm still here and enjoying it very much. I'd like to leave it with that. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them now or later. Thank you.
Thank you, Andreas, for this introduction. And now, Valerie, we go to your presentation.
Yes. Hello, everybody. A warm welcome to all the students today and, of course, to our guest speakers, which join us today. And you will hear probably a lot more of in the coming minutes. I intend today to not talk too long, as I think the experiences of our guest speakers are way more interesting than all the technicalities I will discuss briefly today. Yes, so my name is Valerie Fontipa. I'm a third-year student of the Bachelor International Studies at Leiden University, Campus The Hague. And personally, in my studies, I focus on Europe with the Portuguese language. And I am an EU Careers Student Ambassador of Leiden University. This is initiated by EU Careers by EPSO and Berk by the EU. And my goal is actually to inform students about all the opportunities that are available offered by the EU. And my personal motivation to do that is often from my peers, I hear that the EU sounds as an institution very far away there in Brussels, and they often state that it's not maybe for them, or they don't know how to apply, or they're very hesitant, at least. And my job here, together with a colleague of mine, Justin Spruit, who isn't here today, we together as a team try to inform you students and make the whole process of applying to maybe a traineeship or a position more tangible to current students. Yes, and of course it's important to talk about the basic requirements because perhaps most of you think, oh, I think I'm not eligible to apply in the first place. However, if you look at the basic requirements, you can see that they're very broad and it doesn't really, it isn't really specified. At least not, for example, if you have a biology degree, you might not think, oh, I can work for the EU. However, if you look at the requirements, education is an important one, which requires that you have a minimal bachelor's degree. Yesterday, in our previous session, we also got the question of, can you apply while still doing your bachelor degree? Maybe that is also a question you're thinking of right now. As far as I know, it is that you can already apply even though you haven't finished your bachelor degree, but at the start of your position, your traineeship, you at least must have finished your bachelor degree. A second requirement is the language requirement. It is not that you need necessarily French, because the language requirement is that you must at least know one EU work language. The EU work language are English, French, and German, and you must know another official EU language. So, for example, if you're Dutch and you speak English as you attend this session today, you fit the language requirement. And if we look at the third requirement, work experience, this is a very broad requirement. It also says it's not necessary. However, of course, if you already have previous experience from another internship of a part-time job, you can put the qualities you acquired during that job, during that previous internship, in your motivation, which of course helps you to formulate why you think you're the best fit for a certain position or traineeship. As most of you are students, you might know these two traineeships, which are the Schumann and the Blue Book traineeship. The Schumann traineeship is in the European Parliament, and the Blue Book traineeship is of the European Commission. Both offer a couple of hundreds positions each round. You can see here the dates when they start, and the application dates. The soonest is now the Schumann traineeship with the deadline of November 30th. And of course, these are the most known traineeships, but there are also many other ways in which you can you can apply or you can get a job offer in the EU. We today have two guest speakers, which I think also one is a Blue Book trainee and one is I think has another form of traineeship. So these aren't the only possibilities. As Andreas already mentioned, you also have junior positions and the concours. And that brings me to the next point in the next slide. As you really have to look for yourself, what can I offer the EU? So if you start your application process, try to look up as many things you can find about it, and really go see the websites or the follow the news about different departments and units. What are they working on? What are their future prospects? And see if they fit you, your education, your interests, and where you want to go career-wise, and decide on your preferences. Where would I fit, or what would I like to do within the EU? And formulate a good why in your application. If you, for example, study communication science and you want to work at a media office, formulate why. But even if you want to work at maybe a more cultural department, formulate why you think you're the best fit for this specific department or unit. Of course, if you're a Dutch national, the Dutch government offers a lot of support and information in during your application process. They can help you to enhance your chances, give you tips, and explain you how the application process really works. So as a Dutch national, you can go to werken.eu. There's a very handy website. The deadlines of all the traineeships are also, you can also find them there. And if you're an EU national, you can look at epso.europa.eu, which gives you more information where you can find more information about different opportunities as a national of a different EU member state. And also in the next slide, you can see more contact information. If you have a more informal question about traineeships, you can contact me or my colleague on the eucareers.leiden@gmail.com. And as a Dutch national, you can send an email to werken@minbuza.nl. for more specific questions about application processes.
Okay, thank you, Valerie. Then I would like to give the floor to Floris. Floris, you are a colleague of Jasper. Maybe you could introduce yourself.
Yes, hi everyone. Unfortunately, my colleague Jasper couldn't make it, so I will do his part for him. But anyway, I want to thank, first of all, Valerie for her nice, concise presentation. As she mentioned, me and Jesper, we are both part of team Werken bij de EU, working for the EU. And with that team, we're part of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And our team is there to assist all students or starters, young professionals, or any others who have an interest in working for the EU, either for an internship, a traineeship, or for people who are more advanced in their career and perhaps aspire like a temporary contract or a junior professional position. Valerie also already showed the contact details. Please don't hesitate to give us an email, and we are honestly really glad to assist you as best as we can. But without further ado, I think it's time to turn to the two contemporary EU career employees or trainees, actually, because we brought two people, I believe, who are currently employed there, Natalie and Rosa. And maybe Natalie and Rosa can briefly introduce themselves.
Yes, good morning. My name is Natalie. I'm a trainee at the representation of the European Commission in The Hague. And before I started the traineeship, I studied European languages and cultures. So I was always interested in the European Union. So it's been very exciting to get this opportunity to do the traineeship. I just started last month on the 1st of October with the traineeship, so it's still a bit new, but so far it's been a really great experience. I think the traineeship is a really great way to learn more about how the European Commission works, because you get to see a lot of the work that all the colleagues are doing here at the representation. But also, for example, you get online trainings from guest speakers from different institutions of the European Union. So you get a really broad overview of all the work that the EU does. As Valerie already mentioned, you can apply for this traineeship twice a year if you're interested in it. And the traineeship is for 5 months. So I would definitely recommend to apply for it. And if you have any questions about it, please let me know.
Thank you, Natalie. Rosa, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, everyone. My name is Rosa. I was a trainee for Samira Rafaela. She's a member of the European Parliament. And I was there from March to end of July. So what did I do? I was a media and press trainee. So I basically focused on her social media, her website. I helped her preparing for speeches or for interviews with journalists. And also next to the media part, I also assisted the team with their more political tasks in the negotiations or in all the different many meetings that they have. So my traineeship was an traineeship with an MEP. It's a little bit unknown. Most of the trainees are Blue Books or Schumann. So basically, if you're an MEP trainee, you're directly working with the MEP. So the team is very small. We were with 5 in total, including the MEP. So there's a lot of direct communication, and you really get to know the MEP and work very closely together. So I would recommend it to everyone. This traineeship was part of my master degree. I'm doing a master international relations and diplomacy here in The Hague. And we all had to do, we had 6 months to do an internship or a traineeship, and this was basically the one that I did. And if you have any further questions, I would love to answer them.
Thank you all for this introduction. As I said before, we would like to make it an interactive session, so feel free to ask your questions. You can use the chat for that. I have some questions for you, and then if you have some questions, students, you can ask it in the chat. But the question I think for Rosa, Natalie, and for Andreas, what does your workday look like? What are tasks or projects you are involved with? Maybe you could tell a bit about that, and maybe also about your work-life balance. How's that, Andreas?
Yes, I can start. So your daily task, That really depends on where you work at the Commission. So here in the representation, we deal with many topics. So I'm head of the political team, meaning that we write a lot of reports on issues that are important for different colleagues in Brussels. So that is mainly on director general level, so senior official level or commissioners, so the cabinets of the commissioners, and mainly on topics that are for different reasons relevant for our colleagues in Brussels. So, for example, we write reports on rule of law, discussion here concerning some member states where we find they have rule of law issues, like Poland. We write about the rule of law in the Netherlands, we write about a Green Deal issues, debates in Parliament, public debates. We, of course, also write about the negotiations for a new coalition agreement. So there's one part, writing reports on a more than daily basis. The other thing is that we organize and help organize and support visits. So we regularly have commissioners or senior officials coming to the Netherlands to meet with the prime ministers, to meet with ministers or parliament, and then we support them in the preparations and also, you know, join them in these visits to make sure that everything works fine and that they meet the right people and that they have all the information they need to, you know, successfully negotiate or attend these meetings, because they come here to discuss European issues, but they, of course, work for the European Commission, meaning they have a very broad view and they have to understand all and every member state. But they're all very different. So to explain our colleagues and the commissioners, like, how does the Netherlands see this issue? And what's the most likely opposition and what's the national debate, to help them understand the national context, we provide them with the information they need. So these are the two main tasks, and that's something, yeah. So this morning I was working on a report for Timmermans and his cabinet, and I was working on a commission of visits, because we had some plan for the coming weeks, but then all cancelled or rescheduled or going online. So there's a lot of logistics at the moment, slightly less interesting than the actual working on the content for these. So that's my morning, and I think the afternoon will not be much different. So reporting and organizing visits.
Okay, thank you. Nathalie, could you tell us a bit about your experiences?
Yes. So usually during the mornings, I help the press team with monitoring the news. So yeah, in the mornings, I usually read the news and see if there's anything written about the European Union that might be of interest for them. So that is a task that I do every morning. But my other task really vary every day. It really depends on what kind of tasks my colleagues need help with. So for example, I'm also working on a game that they can use, for example, for open days, to inform people more about what the European Union does. So that's a very fun thing to work on. And also I have other administrative tasks, but that really varies every week. So.
And your work-life balance, maybe you could tell us a bit about that. How's that?
Yeah, so the traineeship is for 40 hours a week. So I just work 8 hours a day. And then after that, yeah, I can just spend my free time. So I would say it's a great work-life balance. Now with COVID, we're probably going to work more from home. So it's always a bit of a challenge to, you know, separate the work and your home life. But yeah, it's going well so far.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah,
so, a question from a student.
Kim is asking, and I think Valerie already touched a bit on this, but he or she is asking about beta and science related positions for internships at the EU, and what those would entail related to with the background of in biology. So maybe someone can give a bit more insight into what those positions look like.
Maybe I can say a few words, more general words about that. I didn't study European studies or international affairs, and most people actually did not do that. It's a bit of an urban legend that you have to do that to work for the European institutions, but no, we're not all coming from the College of Europe, and we're not all international affairs wonks. No, that's not. Most of the work we do is very technical, on legislation, on content, very specialized. So we actually need people with certain specializations. I mean, of course, you have to be able to work in a multicultural environment. You have to work at times under pressure. Depends a bit on where you work or what you do on a daily basis. But we need specialists, meaning that, of course, you don't come from universities with like all deep diving knowledge into a legislation, but you have to have a certain background. And we need very different backgrounds. We also need biology backgrounds for example, we have DG Environment, and they work on everything from waste to pollution. So having a science background in biology and other areas is very helpful in that. So please do apply with a biology background, very much wanted. So please do that.
We also have another question from Thomas. Can non-EU or EU or even non-European citizens join the EU?
Yeah, I think in every institution there are like limited places for non-EU like citizens, but I think it therefore also harder to get in as a non-EU citizen. That's what I know.
Okay. And Rosa, I would like to ask you if you could tell us a bit about your workday as a trainee and the work-life balance. How was that for you?
Yes. My main responsibility was the social media. So like at the beginning of the week or even the week before, we looked in the agenda, what is happening, what's happening inside the European Parliament. So committee meetings, voting sessions, and then we always made a plan, like what do we want to communicate to the outside world? And then we always also had, next to the European Parliament task, we had meetings, we had speeches, that kind of things. And then my task was to see, okay, what is happening and how can we communicate it? So if there was a very complicated file, I was reading through it, and then I was proposing how can we communicate it to the people following her on her social media channels. I was also updating the website, and there was a very close communication between me regarding the communication and then the policy advisors, because they had the knowledge on the more complicated matters, and then I always tried to make it simple, and sometimes we were clashing because I wanted to use simple words. They were like, no, these are not the right words, but it was a nice collaboration with them. I also organized a lot of meetings with younger people, because she had a youth tour in the Netherlands and in the Caribbean part of the Netherlands, some of which were online, some of which were actually in schools and universities. So there was a lot of organization part as well, next to just writing nice tweets and Instagram posts. The work-life balance was a challenge for me, because the team is so small. You always had to work until the work is done, because there's no one else doing it. So I worked more than 40 hours, but I would say it's worth it. It's a very good experience, and everyone's working hard, so it's not like you're the only one doing it.
Okay, thank you. And for Rosa and Natalie, how was the step from the university to a job? What did you do to get this position? Maybe you could tell us a bit about that. Natalie?
Yeah, so after I graduated with my master's degree, I actually applied for the traineeship as well, but I didn't get in then. So I spent 2 years working in Spain in human resources. So I already had some work experience before I started the traineeship. But yeah, for me, it's been really nice to have my previous work experience so that I already had like an idea of what it's like to work full time. But I think you can also easily do the traineeship when you just when you've just graduated with your degree. So I think it depends. For me, it's because I didn't get in. But yeah, I think if you get in right away, it's great. It's a great experience.
For me, it was a bit different because I did this traineeship as part of my master program. So how it was for me, I basically followed this MEP already on her Instagram and I saw that she was looking for people. I think the procedures for the MEPs are a bit different than from the official Schumann and Blue Book because they just sometimes need people, sometimes they don't. There's no starting point in March or September. So you just need to have a close look on the MEPs that interest you or that align with your values. And then this was a very media and press specific traineeship. And I have work experience with television, with media in the Netherlands. So, and then at the same time, I study international relations. So for me, it was a very good fit. So I wrote my motivation letter, and then within 2 weeks I had went through a couple of rounds, and then they called me and said we want you in the team. So in the end it went very fast, but I took also a lot of time to think, okay, what do I really want? What's like the traineeship or internship that I really want? And then you also find spots that really fit you instead of sending like 20 applications to very different ones. I focused very narrowly on what I really wanted.
Okay, there's also a question from Julie. Are there positions for graduates with a mathematics background? For example, are you having people, mathematicians or statisticians, helping you in making decisions based on analysis and data? I don't know, Andreas?
Yes, we do. We have a lot, and it's very important. No, you find that In many parts of the commission, you find these units where the share of nerds is very, very high, with the people trying to provide you with the right statistics and the right information. So if that's something you're interested in, and you're interested also in for example, economic modeling or deep diving into statistics, there are definitely parts of the commission that that would suit you. And we have, as you might know, we have Eurostat, so the European Statistical Office, there in Luxembourg, and they're comparable to a national statistical office. So they compile a lot of statistics and data. But we also have the Joint Research Center, so it's like an in-house research part of the commission, and they are very much science institute, applied science institutes, and some work also on modeling, on statistics, to underpin what we're doing.
Okay, thank you. Now I have a question for all of you. What's your future dream career? Rosa, maybe you could tell us a bit about that.
Yes, it's a good question. I'm actually thinking about this right now because I'm graduating in July. So I have to start this process. For me, there are still like, I have a couple of different directions. On the one hand, I would like to continue working for the EU because I really like my traineeship and I would like to learn more. But I also consider working for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the Netherlands, maybe join the diplomatic service there. Maybe even like go for the best and go to the UN. Like I still have all my options and I'm now exploring it. But my traineeship definitely got me more enthusiastic to work for the EU. So it's one of my favorite options.
Okay, thank you. Valerie, I don't know if you want to tell a bit about your dream career.
As I not even finished my bachelor's, I'm very in a very early stage. But of course, I'm exploring all my interests and all the opportunities, also the EU office, of course. And I'm myself now doing a minor in urban studies. So I'm now looking into jobs which might combine my international expertise, but also at the same time urban governance. But we will see in the future, of course.
Yeah. Okay. And Natalie?
Yeah, I'm still looking into what I would like to do after I finish a traineeship, but I'll finish at the end of February, so I still have some time. But I would really like to work abroad again. So I'm looking into in which country I would like to work and what kind of work is available there. But I would also definitely consider continuing working for the EU. I would really like that. So I have to look into what my options are.
Yeah. And Andreas?
So yeah, so said in the beginning, I'll have to go back to Brussels next year. So this is a temporary posting from the Commission in the Member States. I don't know yet what I'll do, but after years of a very broad general working on many, many different topics, I look forward to focusing more on policies and going deeper into certain areas than to continue working so broadly. But I don't know. There are so many choices, so many interesting things you could do at the Commission. So I'll have to see.
Okay, thank you. And Floris?
Yes, well, I'm currently an intern at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which is really interesting, in my opinion. But I also really want to explore the options and possibilities in an international environment, specifically the EU. So this is really relevant for me. But there are, of course, many other international or European organizations such as the UN, the OSCE, which by themselves also have like internships, traineeships, junior professional programs, which also I believe is really interesting. So I'm currently working towards a little bit of an international next step.
Okay. Well, I have a last question for all of you. Do you have some golden tips for students? Or tips for students who aspire a similar career? I don't know, Andreas?
Yeah, maybe two things. So one, more of a personal thing. What I like about applicants, be like new colleagues or traineeships or whatever, what I like about people is if they have a passion for what they do. So even if you think that your CV is a bit strange because it went all over, as long as you have like an underlying passion and a story to tell, to explain why you did what you did, then that I find more important than, I don't know, having some very specific experience in, I don't know, organizing something or whatever. But that's more of a personal thing. A more general advice for the EU, but also I guess for other large organizations, is that because we get so many applications, and it's very expensive to screen people properly, it's very difficult to give everybody like a fair treatment. What we do is that we publish very clear guidance, and we are very strict in applying the same procedures to all applicants. Sounds a bit abstract, but what does it mean in practice? In practice, it means that, for example, if you go through the concours and you come to the assessment center, you will read in the notice of competition that in certain parts of the assessment center, we test for different issues, different things like working with other people in a team, or an international experience, or being able to present yourself. So read carefully what you have to show at that very moment in an assessment center or in writing, because on the other side there will be a commission official with a checklist, and he or she will have to tick boxes and assign points, and he or she knows that, okay, I have to check in this part of the application for international experience. If you have in your CV that you spend like 3 semesters abroad and you worked in HR in Spain or whatever, that's all great, but you have to show it at that place or at that time. So do that. It sounds very administrative, but this is how the system works. So if you don't show that at this point, then you might not get that point or get that box ticked. So read carefully what you have to show and at what place you have to show. And in our case, at the European Commission or the European Union, that's the so-called notice of competition. Because there is no other way. I mean, ideally, we would like invite everybody to a 5-day assessment center to Brussels, and we like screen you and have long, interesting discussions with you. But there's just not feasible. So we have to do it in a different way. Very general advice, because I think it's similar, very similar for other international organizations and large companies even.
Yeah, good tips. Rosa, do you have some advice for students?
So I already touched upon this before. I think before you apply to such like, I would say, prestigious traineeships, I would always like research and look for positions that really suit you. So then you can, like in your motivation letter, then you can show how it fits you. And I think this already increases your chances compared to if you send like thousands of letters and they're all a bit general. Other than that, I would say don't be afraid to go for it. Because I also, among my fellow students, there are many people who are like, yeah, I don't think I'm good enough. But I would still say go for it and just see how far you come. If you don't get in, that's also no problem. And if you maybe get in, then enjoy it. And then my last tip would be also in the process, specifically if you write a motivation letter or if you have interviews where you have a contact, stay close to yourself. It's okay to say if you cannot do something. Also during my interviews, they asked me a question. I was like, yeah, I don't have that experience. But it's better to be honest and show how you really are instead of talking to what you think they want to hear, because they filter that out, and that's not, then you don't show your authenticity. And I think that's really important.
Yes, thank you. Natalie, you have some golden tips?
Yeah, like I said before, I applied 2 years ago and I didn't get in then. So I would really advise you, if you don't get in right away, don't give up and just keep trying. You can always try to improve your CV and then apply maybe a year or 2 years later. And then, yeah, hopefully you do get in. So I would really advise you to just keep trying to, apply for the traineeship, and then eventually it will work out.
Thank you. Laura.
Hi, first of all, thank you for your information. But I have a question also related to this topic. I was wondering, end of July, I will probably graduate from my master's. And as I'm interested in maybe working for the EU in the future, I was wondering, is it really a must, or like, would you really advise to do first a traineeship to come into the EU and maybe taste a bit, like if you really like it, if it's your way of working, or is it not really a must? And is there also a possibility to just apply for working there, maybe after some experience at other places, or, yeah.
No, it's not a must. I didn't do a traineeship before. But at some point, you will have to show international experience. And if you did a traineeship, then you obviously have that, or most likely have that. But if you did something else, somewhere else, that's equally fine. So there is no... there's no box that you can tick and you get additional points for a traineeship at the European institution. No, so there is no advantage in that. Just in the fact that you then have a way to show that you have work experience and that you have international experience. But if you worked for an NGO in Australia or somewhere else, that's, you know, equally fine.
Okay, thank you very much.
If I may add something to this, I think it's not necessary.
You muted yourself. Yeah.
If you start as a trainee, you might get lucky and you can stay there if someone else leaves or when a spot becomes free, because they also see how you work. And if they really like it, they might create a spot for you. This is hard. It doesn't happen to everyone, but still, I would say your chances are a bit higher.
Okay, thank you. Valerie, is there anything you would recommend for students to do now, or tips?
Yes, I think already start very early on in your studies to look at yourself, your studies, your interests, what you would like to pursue. I think you can't start early enough. Already in your first or second year of studies, I think it's very a must to already think about your future and not wait till the very last end. Also to add, I also, as Andreas and Rosa said, like it isn't a must to do a traineeship. However, of course, if you do that, you can really experience if it's an environment you would like to work in for maybe a longer period of time, so you can already and also see whether it's something for you. And of course, if you're doing your studies, already engaging in things besides your studies, not only focusing on all theoretical stuff, but also on practical things such as organizing events for an association, can be very small, but all those small experiences, of course, can add up to you determining what are your interests and what you like to do in the future.
Yeah, so we have another question coming in. Would you recommend highlighting information that's important for the checklist more in your CV or in your motivation letter? Because I know both are important, but reading through many motivation letters doesn't seem feasible for screening. So how would we prevent that important information is missed by the person who screens? I think this question is mostly to Andreas.
Yes, yes. Well, on the motivation letters, so especially for the traineeship, because that's where, you know, you have these motivation letters. Again, think about the process. So in this case, there are colleagues, so officials from the commission who screen these letters. And they're either they were most likely more or less assigned by their boss to do that. So their own motivation to do that is a bit limited because it distracts them from the actual work. So don't write like very general things like, you know, I like Europe or I don't like Europe or whatever, you know. After the 10th letter is you're done with that. So come straight to the point, try to be as brief as possible and highlight the very main points. I mean, I know that you're applying here and I know that you're studying and I know that you went abroad, you know, that's all of you. So just try to be very, very brief, try to highlight what makes you different, what makes you tick, what is your passion. Also extremely, extremely important, let someone else read your motivation letter. If there are three spelling mistakes in a motivation letter, you're not motivated. I have assigned people myself 0 points for a motivation letter just because of poor spelling. You know, this is not how you work. If you have to write a short piece and there are 4 spelling mistakes in it, you're not motivated. So let someone else read it, check it, try to be very, very brief, very concise. You probably have a maximum number of words. don't try to reach that. You know, there is no need to hear your whole life story. The shorter, the better. And just highlight the main points that you think really make you that distinguish yourself from the other candidates.
Yeah, maybe it's good to add that we that you can always send us your CV and we can give some feedback from the career service. We offer a CV check, so if you like that, you can always send us your CV. Floris, I would like to ask, do you have some tips for students, some final things maybe?
Well, I think a lot of useful information has been given already, useful tips. Maybe something practical. Try to pick up as many foreign languages as possible. Fadori mentioned that there are three sort of working languages within the EU, and only one is really required, but it's really useful to get ahead of others when you learn French or German or even like Russian or something more exotic. So that's what I've been personally doing, taking French lessons. So I might get ahead in the very competitive environment of the EU and others. So that's it.
Thank you, Floris. Okay, we're now at the end of this webinar, and I would like to thank you all for your questions, for an interactive session. And of course, I would like to thank the speakers. Thank you so much for sharing your experiences and answering all the questions.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Career Time Playback. If you want to attend the next workshop live, you can register for the upcoming event via the university website or find more information on our Facebook or LinkedIn page. We hope to see you there.